Chapter 37. The black ice walls of Arctis Tor were 60 feet thick, and walking through the gateway felt more like walking through a railroad tunnel, except for all the bones. Every breath, every step, every rasp of bones rubbing against one another multiplied into 1,000 echoes that almost seemed to grow louder rather than fading away. The bones piled higher as I went, forcing me to walk atop them as best I could. The footing was treacherous. The deep green and violet and occasionally red or green pulses of luminance in the black ice walls did nothing to light the way. They only made the shadows shift and flow subtly, degrading my depth perception. I started feeling a little carsick. If one of the fetches appeared at the far end of the tunnel and charged me, things would get nasty and fast, especially given how ineffective my magic had been against them and how the bones had slowed my pace. That was more than a little spooky, and it was hard to keep myself from thrashing ahead more quickly out of pure fear. I kept a steady pace, held it in, and refused to allow it to control me. I'd been shielding my thoughts from Lashiel for a couple of years now. Damned if I was going to give a bunch of murderous fairy monsters the chance to paw through my emotions. I checked behind me. Charity had trouble managing the awkward task of crawling over the bones while armored and holding that big old warhammer, but she stuck to it with grim focus and determination. Behind her, Murphy seemed to have far less trouble. Thomas prowled along at the rear, graceful as a panther in a tree. I emerged from the gate into the courtyard. The inside of the fortress was bleak, cold, and beautiful in its simple symmetry. Rooms and chambers had either never been built or had been built into the walls and their entries hidden. Stairs led up to the battlements atop the walls. The courtyard was flat, smooth, dark ice, and at its center, the single spire reared up from the ground, a round turret that rose to a crenellated parapet that overlooked the walls and the ground beneath. The courtyard also held a sense of quiet stillness to it, as though it was not a place meant for living, moving, changing beings. The howl of the wind outside and overhead did not reach the ground. It was as silent as a librarian's tomb, and each footstep sounded clearly on the ice. Echoes bounced back and forth in the courtyard, somehow carrying a tone of disapproval and menace with them. Bones spilled out in a wave from the gate, rapidly tapering off after a few yards. Beyond that were only scattered groupings of bones. Thomas drifted over to one such and poked at it with his drawn saber. The blade scraped on a skull, too big to stuff into an oil drum, too heavy and thick to look entirely human. "What the hell was this?" Thomas asked quietly. "Troll, probably," I said. "Big one, maybe 14-15 feet tall." I looked around. Half a dozen other enormous skulls lay in the scattered collections of remains. Another 6 had fallen very close to each other at the base of the spire. "Give me a second. I want to know what we're looking at before we move ahead." Charity looked like she wanted to argue, but instead she took up position a few yards off, watching one way. Thomas and Murphy spread out, each keeping their eyes on a different direction.